But I'll try to incorporate it with mine, because I was being prepared for July. And so God had gave me something, but not all of it. So bear with me. His title is Grace is Enough, but I say Jesus is Enough. And so I will be coming from a little bit of everything. But this is still Eastertide. And so I'm going to give you this one of the scriptures that God gave me. 2 Chronicles 25 through 19. And whatever you put there, Steve. I think the real scripture is John 20. 2 Chronicles 25 through 19. I'm trying to be on the same accord, but 25 through 19. And then I have other scriptures, and so does Eddie. So I'm going to try and incorporate it. I don't know if I can, but I can't, but God can. So his message was about God's unmerited favor, you know, and our faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, and that we should be strong in our faith as believers of God. But we're not always strong in our faith as believers of God, because when you're sick and you hurting, sometimes I'm not thinking about God. Sometimes I'm thinking about me. So even though we're supposed to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, sometimes we are not. We know that God's word is tried and true, and he will never fail. He's never lost a battle. He never will. His blood is still speaking. Just like Abel's was speaking from the ground, Jesus' blood is still redeeming, still setting free. And the blood, yes, the blood redeems, but it's the name of Jesus that demons tremble to. So we know that we have our rear guard. We have our power comes from him. We know that we stand in him. I'm reminded of something that you said the last time you spoke about standing in the measure of faith that he's given us, because he's given everybody, saved or not, a measure of faith. You don't have to be saved to sit in a chair, because you know that chair is going to sit, it's going to hold you, unless you're foolish enough to sit in a broken chair and you can see it's broken, but you're going to sit in it anyway. But whether you're saved or not, he's given us a measure of faith. And I believe that measure of faith is not something that's ours. It came from him. Because we are branches of him. We are little Christ in the earth. Sometimes we just don't act like it. But when we're walking with Christ, we have to be upright. We have to be in the right position. And what is that position, though, in all actuality? Whatever the position is, it has to be in him and not in us. Because, I mean, we can accomplish some stuff on the surface, but Jesus can get to the root of the matter and pluck up the root of the matter. So when we're walking in Christ, we have to walk upright before him. He's called us his righteousness. Then we have to act like we're righteous. We have to act like we're his righteousness. We have to act like we're his representatives of the kingdom, because this place right here, this jacked up train wreck, of a place that we're in right now, is not our home. Heaven is our home. But until, in the meantime, we got to work while it's day. So we got to live holy, because God said to be holy as I am holy. But how do we live holy? How do we live sanctified? It's not a doily on your head or a long skirt or a nappy head and no makeup and no earrings. That's just not not completing your ensemble in all actuality. But being holy is within. When we let him wash us from the inside out. When we allow him, sometimes we don't allow him to be God because we're trying to do it and we get in the way. But what do you do when you've done all you can do and you feel like you're teetering and toddling? We may be weebles and we may wobble, but we aren't going to fall down. We're like a solid oak. We're like a palm tree. The winds blow, they bend, but they bounce right back up. What do you do when there's nothing else you can do? Like Hezekiah, when, was it Isaiah told him to get his house in order? And he turned his face to the wall. He told him he was going to die. He said, but God, the grave can't praise you. So God, the grave can't praise you. The grave can't work for you. The grave can't speak for you. But we can. So in the process of that, we just have to let him lead and guide us. So in 2 Chronicles, and this is where I'm getting to because this is what God gave me. I can't preach somebody else's word. We got to stand no matter what. And whatever we're going through, we said you were giving thanks in your prayer. But I know that Paul said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning us. In what we're in, we give thanks. But God, we don't thank you for no aches and pains. We don't thank you for diabetes. We don't thank you for cancer. We don't thank you for headaches. We don't thank you for nothing that you didn't give us. But in what we are, we give you thanks. Just like the disciples, when they, was it John and Peter, whatever, when they raised the lame man at the gate and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as we have, we give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. They got beaten and told not to speak about that name again. But when they went back with the others, they prayed, God, don't take us out of it, but we be with us in it. Help me stand in it. Help me to endure in it. My knee has been bothering me since I had the flu in February, went on our trip in excruciating pain because my doctor didn't call my medicine in on time. But thanks be to God, I still made it and I'm still moving. It hurts a little bit, but not as bad as it was. I'm not limping. But in this, I have to give God thanks. I don't thank you for it, but in it, I thank you for giving me the strength. So what do you do when you just have to stand because there's nothing else? Your back's up against the wall. The walls are crowding in on you. You don't feel good. Things are happening all around. I'm not talking about what's out in the world because the world is jacked up. It's going to do what it do. But I'm talking about the body of Christ. What do we do when our backs are up against the wall? Because every day is not a hunky-dory day. Every day is not a feel-good day, but every day is good because God said everything was good. But even in the good day, we can have some bad days. So what do we do in that bad day when we're not feeling good, or something's come against us, or somebody's lying against us, or we're just being spiritually attacked? Sometimes it's not physical, it's spiritual. And we got to know the difference, because if you go to the doctor and you get an x-ray and you get a Doppler on both legs to see if you have a blood clot and there's nothing there, there's no fracture, there's no tear, there's nothing there, then it has to be spiritual. So guess what? We must be a threat to the kingdom of hell. Because if something's not ailing, if something, not, I ain't saying that being sick is a prerequisite for something, but I'm just saying, if you're under attack, in that, give thanks, because God is doing something in us, and he's going to do something through us. So 2 Chronicles 20, what did I say? 20, yeah, 5 to 19. So let me see if I can give you just a little bit of what's going on. This is King Jehoshaphat. And all the ites were coming up against them. The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Munites, just a whole bunch of ites. And so they were coming against them, to war against them. And then in the process, they were all gathered together. And that's why we come together on Sunday and Wednesday or whatever, because iron sharpens iron. And in the process, we are, as Steve said, holding each other up. And God is holding us up in the process of holding each other up. So coming together on one accord is key. So King Jehoshaphat was scared. And it's all right to be scared. I know he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but sometimes you're scared. We just have to keep it real. God, I'm scared. I don't know. I don't want to go through this. And why do I have to go through it? If you're not sick, if you don't have a torn MCL, if you don't have diabetes, if you don't have a migraine, if you don't have cancer, why do I? Because he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession on our behalf. So I just have to say, no matter what, God, Jesus, I agree with your prayers that you're interceding on my behalf. I may not like what your answer is, but it is for my good. So in here, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the Lord's temple before the new courtyard. He said, Lord God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? Sometimes we got to say that. God, are you God? Are you not the God in heaven? Are you not the God that parted the Red Sea? Are you not the God that saved David from Saul's spear? Are you not the God that opened Hannah's womb? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you. That's what we got to know. Nobody can stand against our God. Nobody. Not sickness, not death, not hell or high water. Nothing can stand against our God. Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and who gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in the land and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, and have said, if disaster comes on us, sword or judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and before you, for your name is in this temple. We will cry out to you because of our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Sometimes we just gotta say, God, I'm scared. I don't understand. I don't feel good. And, you know, people don't have the answer, but you do. So in this, they were at their end's wit. They were getting ready to be attacked by all these ites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Munites. And they were scared. It was more of the enemy than there was of the people of Judah. But we know that no matter what, there's always someone that's greater and is more than what's coming up against us. So in his distress, they cried out to God. And even in the process, he said, now, he's just saying, making it plain. I mean, God already knows what's going on, but sometimes just tell him. Now, here are the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir. You did not let Israel invade them when Israel came out of the land of Egypt. But Israel turned away from them and did not destroy them. Look how they repay us by coming to drive us out of your possession that you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this vast multitude that comes to fight against us. We don't know what to do, but we look to you. At times, we don't know what to do, but we look to God, because he is the answer to everything. And when we look to him and we concentrate on him and not what we're going through, he comes through every time. You can count on him. He's greater than American Express and Capital One altogether. You can count on God. And then my other scripture is Psalm 25. Lord, I turn my hope to you. My trust, my God, I trust in you. Do not let me be disgraced. Do not let my enemies gloat over me. No one person who waits for you will be disgraced. Those who act treacherously without cause will be disgraced. Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long. Remember, Lord, your compassion and your faithful love, for they have existed from antiquity. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my acts of rebellion. In keeping with your faithful love, remember me because of your goodness, Lord. The Lord is good and upright. Therefore, he shows sinners the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the Lord's ways show faithful love and truth to those who keep his covenant and decrees. Because of your name, Lord, forgive my sin, for it is great. Who is the person who fears the Lord? He will show him the way he should choose. He will live a good life, and his descendants will inherit the land. So I'm not going to read all of that, but this tied into, what the Lord had given me a couple of months ago. And it was like, oh yeah, this is for July, but it ain't for July. It's for today. And my last scripture is John 17 and 20. But in everything, when we're scared and we're unsure and we don't know and we can't see clear the way, the path that God has given us, even in that, we have to stand in his resurrection power. We have to stand in his promises, which are yes and amen. We have to stand in knowing that if he be for us, who can be against us? We have to stand in knowing that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We have to stand and know that he bore our sickness and disease in his own body. And with his stripes, them 39 stripes he didn't take for nothing on before he was nailed to the cross, we were healed. We have to know and what we're standing on, who we're standing on, and who we're standing with in him. It's in him. We live, we move, we have our being. It's in him. We can't go anywhere without him. So what do we do when we have to stand in what we're going through? It can be hard sometimes, especially when you don't feel good, especially when you're in pain. Oh, okay. Acts 4, 23 through 31, which I believe Belinda read some of that earlier, Acts 4, when the disciples were coming back to the group, I believe. Oh, yeah, when Peter and John were arrested, that's what I had said earlier, that they gathered together and prayed together that God, you know, don't take us out of it, but be with us in the situation. Be with us as we're standing. Sometimes we can't stand. We have to sit in it. We just have to sit in him. We just have to sit in his resurrection. We may have to lay in his resurrection because we may not be able to sit up. We might have to lay down. We might have to stand up. Whatever it is, we have to be in it. We have to be in it because he's in it and he's in everything. As Pastor said the other Sunday, in everything that we're in, he's in it. There's nothing that comes up against us that he doesn't know ahead of time because nothing takes him by surprise. He's already in it. 2,000 years ago, he knew we would be here today. He knew that Eddie would have vertigo today. He knew I'd be staying up here unprepared, but it's all good because he's in it. He's in everything. We can't take him out of nothing. And that's a good thing because if we rely on ourselves, if you said, we hold up the process. We hold up where we're going. We hold up our destiny because we're not trusting us in us, but also not trusting the God in us because he is in us, been poured in us when we received him. So who can be against us? If he's for us, nobody can be against us, even if it seems like we are a multitude is against us, but God is for us, and he's greater than the multitude. He's greater than the government. He's greater than any enemy. that would come up against us, he's greater than. And I know that this nation is going through, but then it's not just about us. It's other nations that are going through too. And in that, we have to pray for them as well, that, you know, there may be some Christians all over the place, but in that, that God will help them to stand in what they're in and that he will bring them through. Okay, so John 17 and 20, I think this is Jesus' prayer for those who would believe. John 17 and 20. Let's see. They took him and brought him. And may we learn about his new teachings you're speaking of. For what you say sounds strange to us. And this is Paul and Barnabas before they part company. And they take along John Mark. And they travel to Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. In 17 and 20, for what you say sounds strange to us, and we want to know what these ideas mean. Now all Athenians and foreign residing there spent their time on nothing else but telling or hearing something new. But this is not it. I'm looking for the scripture where, but anyway, what I'm looking for is the scripture where they came together and prayed. John? Oh, no, I'm in Acts. Sorry, I'm in the wrong scripture. I'm supposed to be in John. One moment, please. All right, John 17 and 20. Jesus is praying for believers. That's all of us. After the fact, he says, I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their message. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us so the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you given me. May they be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they be made completely one, being in unity, so the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire those you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they will see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I've known you, and these have known that you have sent me. I made your name known to them and will make it known so the love you have loved me with may be with in them and I be in them. So Jesus was praying for us in the process, and he's still interceding on our behalf, that where he is, we can be also, but in the process, we still have to stand in him. We have to stand in that measure of faith. We have to stand in that resurrection. As they said, when he got up, we got up. I don't know if I got up then or not, but there were other saints of old that got up. But when I encountered Christ, then I got up. But he did that 2,000 years ago so that we could get up, so that we could stand in his resurrection power, so that we could stand in him and know that we're not alone. That even though, as Greg was talking about the shattered mirror, even though the enemy presents us a smokescreen of who he says we are, but we all should be in it. We've been in this long enough to know who we are in Christ Jesus. If we don't know, you gotta know. So even though he might show that cracked mirror from time to time, you gotta turn around and see what you really are in Christ. See, behold his face, and in his face, you're gonna see your face. As we stand in him, as we strengthen ourselves in him, because without him, we can do nothing, but with him, we can do all things. And we know that he is with us wherever you go, because he promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. Now, I know sometimes you feel forsaken, especially when you don't feel good, especially when you're going through different trials and tribulations. It feels like you are forsaken. I know I have felt forsaken a lot of times, but in all actuality, when you come back to your right mind, you know that you are not forsaken. He's been right there with you and that he won't leave you. Sometimes we are looking for a sign. I'm not going to lie. I need a sign sometimes. I need confirmation sometimes to know that I'm on the right page sometimes. But when I know that I know that I know that God has heard me and there is confirmation and somebody don't even have to know that they've confirmed it, then I know that he's heard me. And then I know that he knows what I'm going through, that he has already come to see about me. I just got to stand in it with him until he gets me through it. For the manifestation of the healing, for the manifestation of provision, whatever is salvation for your family, we just have to stand until it comes to fruition. We have to stand in what and who he is, because there's no other answers. I mean, we look to different things, you know, our doctors. Yeah, use wisdom to go to the doctor, but the doctor is not the healer, but he helps a little. In all actuality, you know, the medication, pharmacia, is really a spirit, but we still use it to help ease it. It doesn't heal it. It might bandage it. It might make it feel a little better, but Jesus ultimately is the cure. So even so, Jesus is the chief physician, and in that, we just have to stand with him. Even if we have to hold on to that hem of his garment. I saw a vision of me holding around his legs on the floor like kids do their parents. He's dragging me along, but I'm holding on because I ain't never going to let go. I ain't never letting go. I always say, God, I'm not going to quit you. I'm never going to quit you. I may have my issues. I might get mad and ticked off with you. I might not agree with what you said, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave, as a dream girl said, I am telling you, I'm not going. You're the best man. In all the actuality, you're not even a man. You're a spirit, but you're the best thing that has ever happened to me. And I'm not going. I'm staying no matter what. See what the end's going to be. So in all actuality, we just have to totally trust him, which sometimes, like I said, sometimes we might trust people more than we trust God. So I always tell my sisters, I am not your solution. I don't have the answers. I can give you some godly advice or suggestion, but if you don't take it, what am I supposed to do about it? So sometimes you got to stop being the victim and be the victor, and then sometimes you just got to stand in what you're going through. God is the ultimate answer to every prayer, to every solution, to every problem we could come up against personally, as a body of Christ, as a nation, just everything. He is the total sum of all things, and he is the answer to all things. We just not looking for the answer, because sometimes we may not want the answer, because the answer don't look like what we ask for and don't look like what we want. But it is the best thing for us. So I say to you, I don't know what my time is, and I'm trying to, but all I'm saying is we have to stand. We have to know what we have to do when we have to stand, and there's nothing else to do but stand. We prayed all we can pray. We've cried all we can cry. We've laid down. We laid prostrate. We sit up. We sit down. We've done it all. But in the process of it, if we have to stand, we stand. If we have to lay down, we lay down in it. If we have to kneel in it, we kneel in it. But whatever we do, we just got to hold on to it and stand in it with him, no matter what. Because trust me, I know trials and tribulations, as they say, come to make us strong. But sometimes we don't want the trials and tribulations, because I don't. I'll keep you honest. I'll keep it honest. I hate free will. And I tell him that all the time, but I do understand it, because we can't be a puppet. But it would be nice. And then we all be on one accord. We all be happy. Everyone will have everything they need, and we will be in perfect harmony. But until that day, we have to stand. We have to stand in his word. We have to stand on him, in him, and with him. Amen? I'm done. This concludes the message. I hope it wasn't too confusing for you. As I said, I wasn't anointed to preach Eddie's message. I can only do what God gave me. But in the process, if anybody needs prayer, I'll pray with you, or we'll just close out. And I just think, you know what? I didn't do protocols. I apologize for that. I want to thank Apostle Michelle for allowing me or Eddie to stand in this pulpit to give you a word from God. And I just want to thank all of you for being here and listening. And I hope that something was said that will help you through your journey this week, throughout the week, and maybe throughout your lifetime. So we just bless the Lord for who he is and what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do. But trust me, he's always doing something and he's never going to stop. Even when it doesn't look like it, he's working. Even if I don't feel like it, he's working, because he's never going to stop working. Amen. So, Father God, just bless you and praise you for this time together, Lord. Father God, on one accord, and we just thank you for every opportunity that we can come together as a COTK family, Lord, Father God, as the body of Christ, a branch of the body of Christ, Lord, Father God, as your living epistles, Lord, Father God, as your representatives of the kingdom, Lord. Lord, keep us bonded together, Lord, with one heart, one mind in Christ Jesus, Lord, as we go forth as lights in the earth, Lord, Father God, showing your love to all that we come across and whom we come in contact with. And we just thank you again for this beautiful day and just for your grace, your mercies all new on today, for your, Lord, for the anointing that destroys the yoke. We thank you, Lord, Father God. We thank you for the divine opportunities that you will give us throughout the day and even throughout the week. We just thank you and praise you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.